Welcome to Season 4 of Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana, a platform that promotes and supports artists in live music venues. In this series, our host, music journalist and photographer Tom Smouse, visits artists to discuss songwriting and listen to one of their songs. For this season, we're talking to many of the artists on the bill of Amerigrass, a one-day festival taking place Saturday, October 7th at Minneapolis's Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge. We're excited to be partnering with this new festival, hosted by award-winning country act Megan and the Birdwatcher, which brings some of the region's best bands to the Hook.
Welcome to another Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana. This is the podcast where we're the guest. My name is Tom Smouse, and today we're inside the Hook and Ladder, the site of the inaugural Amerigrass Festival here on October 7th. Across from me is the Americana folk, well, two of the members, Megan and the Birdwatcher. We got Megan Lacey and Noah Newman.
Hi.
Since your debut release in 2021, all this band does is just win Artist of the Year awards and Album of the Year awards. I mean, well, you're the official host now here, Amerigrass. So my first question is, I mean, obviously, thanks for being here, but I want to know the story behind the creation of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, we pretty much branched into being a full band in 2020. And the way that kind of came together was like Noah and I were more of a folk duo. And then we desperately wanted to fill out our sound with like awesome instruments and musicians and whatnot. So then it just so happened like the people that filled out the band, bluegrass instruments, you know, banjo and mandolin and fiddle. So it was kind of a coming together of sound, folk, bluegrass, and then we've always kind of had some country influence as well. And so Amerigrass, like over the past couple of years, we've been playing with a bunch of different kinds of bands. But never necessarily like together, just because, you know, the way that it's worked out, we haven't been able to grab everybody all together in one space, especially in downtown Minneapolis. So this was a excuse for us to be able to find all the different parts of who we think we sound like, or like different kinds of sounds, meld them together in one night with folk, bluegrass, country, all of that.
Yeah.
We decided to call it Amerigrass, Americana bluegrass mashup.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, and I think the way it's laid out too is really cool. With obviously here at the Hook, we have two different stages. So there's an indoor stage and an outdoor stage.
Yeah.
And when you're, you know, when you have seven bands and you have this constant flow back and forth, I think it's a really unique lineup, right? I mean, it feels like a music festival.
Right. That's kind of what we want. You know, we don't have something like that really in town in the cities. There's, you know, if you go an hour away, you can find stuff like that. But it doesn't seem like there's like that celebration as much here in the Twin Cities. So that's kind of the goal, is to make that, you know, make the city a big part of it and bring that here. You know, not have to go so far away to hear things like this. So
Yeah. You mentioned that a lot of the bands playing are obviously bands that have maybe helped influence, or bands where you can hear some of what you do and what they do. The lineup, I mean, from bluegrass to jamgrass to alt country to blues, soul, you know. Are these all bands that you've bumped into over the past years? Like, how was the choices on choosing this lineup? Because it's a very unique lineup.
It is. We just feel like it's a great representation of all the things that we like about playing music. You got, you know, Papa Bear Norton, which is just like honky-tonk country, just so much fun. They're just a duo, but they are just incredibly entertaining and play straight-up country songs, you know? And then there's like the folk influence with a band like Delwood, and also Wild Horses kind of brings that folk vibe. The boys in Megan and the Birdwatcher just love jamming and like doing the kind of bluegrass jam stuff. So obviously Buffalo Galaxy and Millbillies are going to bring all of that out. And Ty Pow and the Holy North is, I've really enjoyed their music for a couple of years now. And we have not had an opportunity to share a show with them yet. And they bring that soul bluesy stuff that Noah and I really like to do too. And we're also writing some more new music that's along that lines too. So it's just going to be a great night of kind of mixing all of those together. And
so often I feel like with things, they try to get things so narrow. Like, let's have so many bands that sound just the exact same. But where it's like, well, when we get into this genre, when we get around here, there's so many different sounds. It's like, why don't we celebrate that more? You know, like grab some other things going on. Not like so different, but, you know, like kind of in this Americana, which is like a, I don't even know what it really means all the time, you know, Americana. But, you know, when you kind of have that circle, we pull those things in to celebrate the different aspects of it.
Yeah. And I think for a fan, like, we don't listen to just one thing.
Right.
Right.
We listen to different genres and stuff. So it's really cool to see it branch out in a way like this. But there is still that theme that I think goes for all seven bands.
Right.
Obviously, with your band, there's kind of dual lead here with you two in this. There's certainly differences between you two that can lead to like a really interesting texture and maybe tension at times in your songs. I want to see if you're able to elaborate on a time where maybe your differences created a roadblock that led to something really great. Because obviously you two come from different backgrounds. You two influence each other in different ways. Curious to know.
Differences...
I mean, there's plenty of roadblocks. I know, it's a very lengthy question.
Yeah, we got plenty of roadblocks, but something that's cool that way back when there'd be. So, this isn't probably answering your question, but I'm going to have this as the answer and we can try to figure it out after that. There's a lot of what's happening is different expectations. So, like when I'm, let's say, writing something, I'm thinking I'm going to send Megan this idea. So, like we've had this situation a number of times where I'm writing something that's like, I think in my head, oh, this is a happy song. Everything's great. You know, like we're rocking.
Yeah.
And I send it to Megan. And then she sings something completely different, something I never would have thought would have been applicable to this. But I'm like, oh, this works better now that we do that. And, you know, there, we do sometimes have to, like, push and pull and figure that out. And but I feel like a lot of times then we really get the good juice that way. You know, we really distill it down because we have the differences. So kind of by fire, you create gold or something like that. I don't know.
But all that.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm trying to think like not really roadblocks, but there's things that definitely take time to like chew on.
Yeah.
Gosh, if we had to like name an album or pick a picture or something like that, we have very different perspectives and approaches. But when we take the time, we figure that out. You know, we kind of dig deep.
Musically, I love that because I have a way of writing songs and I can't really get out of my bubble very well by myself. So it's so great to have, you know, Noah be able, so I'll send him a melody line or, you know, just my rough idea for a song and he can change up some chords or like offer up some different lyrics. It's much better than doing it alone.
We both appreciate too what the other person offers, and we're both aware that we can't do everything. You know, there are things Megan can do that I can't, and things I do that Megan doesn't. You know what I mean? So that's, we try to celebrate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's really easy when you're writing stuff to be attached to it being your own. Like you know, this is my idea. This is where I created it, and to be able to hand that to another person and be open-minded and allow that to find a new life or to evolve, I think, is a really unique thing.
Yeah.
There's just, there's just a lot of bands that I think that everything's coming down from one person and everyone kind of has a little say in it, but it stays this consensus idea from the beginning. And it sounds like here that there's this change in the idea in a much better way.
Yeah, we definitely want to celebrate growth, I think, in what we do, and growth and change. We're not afraid of doing things that are not as similar as maybe some people would hope. All the time, but we like that. We write music for other people, but we write it for ourselves as well, so we want to be happy with it.
And enjoy playing it.
Yeah, and enjoy playing it, And feel fresh and new.
We're going to take a listen to one of your songs, Take It to the Garden. The music video for this takes me back to, like, all my family trips growing up. Like, the way that it's edited, it, like, makes me think back to my first trip to the Badlands and traveling throughout the Midwest and just seeing things. Tell me about the concept and the message behind the creation of this song.
This one was... I was learning to play guitar, right?
Yeah, this was
like one of the first songs that I wrote on guitar, like very easy chords to play. I'm not like a fantastical musician in that way, so it was extremely exciting for me to get to just build a song completely just from my brain and then bring it over to Noah and have him make it much more beautiful and fun. But this one was like lyrically just thinking about, my kids are not this age, but just thinking about every kid grows up, goes off to college, you know, is like doing their own thing in life. And then I just thought about every other family too, you know, like it doesn't have to just be kids going and whatever. It's really just the idea of wanting to make sure that people know how much they're loved, no matter where they are. It's just like that great little reminder of, it doesn't really matter where you go, my love follows you. And it's a simple message, but it can't be overstated, I don't think. So,
yeah.
And then, yeah, we took some video, Noah did and I did, just of our first tour out west last summer. And man, what a moment in time. Even looking at it now, my daughter looks so different than she did in her little anime stage that she was at in the video. Yeah, it was a fun little video just to kind of slap together. And then at the end, we had all the other people their little love notes. So.
Which we had a lot, which is cool.
Yeah, that was super cool to be able to do that.
Well, if you haven't checked out the video after you listen to this, and after you're done listening to all of this, go check out the video. It's really cool. Let's take a listen.
Sing along, maybe you will think of me. My love for you, deep as a river it flows. My love for you, something you will never outgrow. It'll follow you, follow up and down and around and around. Follow like a shadow.
You're listening to Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana. I'm here with Megan and Noah from Megan and the Birdwatcher. Our prior seasons on this podcast have focused towards our environments and how that plays into the music. Mm-hmm. I like to kind of think, like, if you two, if we were all standing in Texas, or we were all standing in Portland, how would the music sound different? What makes your band a Midwest band in terms of sound, and what do you pull from this area?
Good question.
Yeah, it's deep.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You throw me that softball question.
Come on, go for the lake.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about nature. That's a huge cue into, I think, how we write and what we do, both consciously and subconsciously. I mean, like, nature around here, I think of it kind of like a blanket. It's kind of always there. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, even in the cities, it's like there's 50 lakes. You can just do nature kind of all the time. And of course you can anywhere else too. But like you're saying, Texas or different areas, yeah, it just feels different. So I think there's kind of this blanket feel of nature. It's kind of always in you. It's always on top of you. But also, like, it's easy to be feeling, like, I would say, comfortably desolate in what you can do here. You know, and we try to take that. And the time you can spend there and in nature, like, you know, Boundary Waters is kind of what Megan was just saying.
Yeah.
But kind of that cues into a lot of what we do and what we write. Like, fall is, like, kind of a big thing, you know what I mean? And I know we don't, like, write about nature and stuff like that, but I think some of maybe what you feel or some of that kind of, like, the change that's coming,
spirit,
you know,
of that, yeah,
yeah, the spirit of the change, it's something that's fleeting, it's something that's going away. So take it while it's here. I think that's kind of how we write as well, where mm-hmm. it's this music, it's enjoy it while it's happening, enjoy the moment. And I think we get a lot of that here. You know, we appreciate it more because we don't have it for 7-8 months. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, we can't do anything, you know.
Yeah. Do you find, is there a spot where you write more often? Is it when you're at home? Is it when you're on the road? Where does the bulk of your ideas come from? Is there a mood that seems inspiration from driving.
Like, yeah. Oh my goodness. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom used to drive us around to, like, have us fall asleep. I did that with my kids. So I'm like, constantly driving and thinking. And when you drive, you have to go to the places where there's the long roads with no stoplights. So yeah, I'm in the middle of the cornfields. And, like, you know, so I do a lot of that, just driving when we're on tour, but also just because. I just love it. And then also, I never really meant to, but, like, anytime I'm working in my garden, like, you know, pulling weeds or, like, whatever, it's just, like, such a hands-in-the-dirt kind of thing that also just sparks my creativity of wanting to write songs and think of melodies and things like that rather than listen to music. So those are kind of the two places for me.
Mm-hmm. It'd be similar. Yeah, definitely, like, just going other places is a huge for inspiration. I can't write songs anywhere else besides, like, at home. Like, I don't feel like I can actually work them out anywhere else. But the inspiration definitely is just from new experiences, seeing different things, you know?
Yeah.
We've got so many, just in our country, not that far from us, there's so many different unique landscapes and parts of nature and stuff like that. So I think just being in a different atmosphere really gives a different perspective when you're writing.
Yeah, well, I'm curious to know. I mean, obviously, Amerigrass is coming up on October 7th, but what else is on your calendar coming up this fall? And is there plans to record? Mm-hmm. You know, when are you going to win your next Album of the Year award?
Well, maybe we'll take a break for a little bit. Yeah, so we've got a busy September for sure. We're playing around. We'll be in Wisconsin. We'll be over in Fargo as well in the middle of September, which will be fun. We'll do the State Fair. It's always a good time. Yeah. And then, October, we'll do Amerigrass and then Truckerfest, which is also another great thing just north of here. And then we really start to slow down. And that's a good time for us where we, as seasonal bands, we kind of transition to this area of more writing and recording. So we'll be doing some studio work then.
When you're doing albums, there's obviously like a cycle. Yeah. The recording, the writing, the performing, the promotion of it. Is there a favorite part of that that you like as a band? Like, are there pieces of that cycle that aren't as fun as the others? Maybe that's the more...
My favorite thing to do is play festivals. Like, so I love playing outside in the summer and doing the live music thing. Other than that, it is hard for me to write a song. It takes forever. Like, Noah can write a song in a day and be like, here's this, and it's amazing. Yeah. And me, I just, like, go over lyrics and melodies and stuff for a long time. That's kind of excruciating for me.
Yeah.
There's, like, Sarah Morris and people that do the write a song
prompts.
That is just very difficult for me. Yeah. So my favorite part is the recording studio. After all of that stuff has been worked out, you just go in and you lay it down, and then you can just hear it all kind of come to life properly. That's my favorite part is studio for sure.
That's cool.
For me, I mean, making the music is, I mean, I like playing out. I like all that stuff, but the actual, the possibilities of what it could be, you know, I think that's just my favorite part.
So not the business side with the
emails? No. Okay. Yeah, no. That stuff.
I don't think I've ever heard a man say that. They're like, you know, I really love the barrage of emails that I have to send.
Advancing shows. It's my favorite part.
I love it. I love it.
Business. Sending a stage plot, man.
Updating stage plots.
We're excited to have you here October 7th and see just this incredible lineup. You guys did a great job with it.
Thank you.
And all, you know, obviously all the bands are bringing a really unique sound into it, and I think that's it's going to be a really cool gig for a fan to come and find new music and then find old favorites.
So, tell all your friends.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we need people to come out. So
tickets are on sale, and there'd be two stages. Bar, they have THC drinks. This place has got it all. Well, cool. We'll see you here soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today inside the Hook and Ladder here.
Lovely. Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
For tickets to Amerigrass, go to thehookmpls.com. To see exclusive photos of our guests taken at the interviews, visit adventuresinamericana.com.
This has been an episode of Smouse in the House, the Amerigrass edition, brought to you by Adventures in Americana. I'm Jacqueline Knott, co-producer, along with Carol Roth and your host, Tom Smouse. The theme music for this season is Take It to the Garden by Megan and the Birdwatcher. Join us next time as we visit with Minnesota-based cosmic bluegrass band Buffalo Galaxy. Thanks for listening.